Hey, everybody, this episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN, expressvpn.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show podcast, Kabul falls. We go into great detail. Who is the Taliban? Where they come from? What's going on in Afghanistan? What's the real agenda here? There's a deeper game at play, and it's all about reconfiguring the body politic of America. We also get into a massive opportunity that Republicans have to win over black voters that they are seemingly missing. If you want to support our program, go to charliekirk.com/support. That's charliekirk.com/support, where you can get behind our program and our mission to reach millions of young people every single month. I want to thank Tracy from Idaho for supporting us. Thank you. I want to thank Jeffrey from Tennessee for supporting us. Thank you. Molly from Springville, Alabama, for supporting us on a monthly basis. Thank you. I want to thank Aaron from Baker City, Oregon, for supporting us. If this program has impacted your life in any way, if this program has made you think deeply about the issues, then please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. It really means a lot when you get behind us and you do that. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, where we play offense with a sense of urgency to win the American culture war, go to tpusa.com. If you are a high school or a college student, get involved at tpusa.com. I love hearing from you. You can email me directly, freedom@charliekirk.com. Action-packed episode. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Charlie Kirk here, and I've warned you about home title theft, where cyber thieves remove you from your home's title and you become the owner. I said you better get home title locked because it's coming. Well, if you're on Facebook, that big breach is here. Facebook had 500 million accounts exposed to cyber thieves. And according to a retired FBI cybercrime expert, everything thieves need to take over as the new owner of your home was leaked. Name, address, personal information, it's out there. The thief forges your signature on a quitclaim deed stating you sold your home to him. He'll leave you in debt or he'll even have you evicted. Do what I did and protect your home's title with Home Title Lock. Go to HomeTitleLock.com and register your address to see if you're already a victim. Then sign up for 30 free days of protection during this high-risk breach. Then sign up for 30 free days of protection. Again, HomeTitleLock.com, promo code radio. That's HomeTitleLock.com, promo code radio. I took Friday to spend some time with my friends at the Claremont Institute, diving into great books and timeless ideas, and to try to always make sure that I'm presenting the best ideas to all of you. And what a mess. What a mess that we have to talk about today. You know, I've done a lot of prep for this show today and a lot of thinking and a lot of praying about how to approach this. It's hard to even find the words to describe the set of circumstances that we've seen over the last couple days. So I remember 9/11. I was in second grade on September 11th, 2001. I remember what class I was in. I remember how the class reacted. I was at Quest Academy, actually, in Palatine, Illinois. I remember from that point forward, the nation had a war posture and mentality. We were told that Al-Qaeda was to blame for 9/11, which was true. We were told that we had to go into Afghanistan with special forces and targeted strikes and find the people who did this. Now, that I totally agreed with. Well, I was in second grade. I agree with looking back. Then we got into the ground war business. trying to build an empire in a part of the world that did not want it. Trying to westernize Afghanistan. That was sympathetic after 10 years, maybe 15 years. But eventually we started to ask ourselves the question as we were facing a $25 trillion debt, rapid inflation, our own citizens were not being prioritized first. Why are we empire building in Kabul when we do not have, when we have citizens in Baltimore that can't read? Why are we building schools in rural Afghanistan when we have our own voters that are seeing their standard of life go down? So President Trump was the first president since the start of the Afghan war, that includes Barack Obama, by the way, to say maybe we should come to some sort of an agreement, some sort of a path forward to end the war in Afghanistan, but end it correctly. Now, remember, President Trump dropped the MOAB, the mother of all bombs, in 2017. President Trump did a drone strike against Qassem Soleimani. President Trump did Tomahawk missile strikes in Syria. He was unafraid to use force when necessary. He was not a dove when it came to foreign policy, but he also was not a neocon empire-building hawk. In principle, I believe that the war in Afghanistan needed to be scaled down, that the Afghan government had received hundreds of billions of our dollars, and it was long past time for them to be able to defend themselves. If they wanted to be a sovereign nation, then you're going to handle the Taliban yourself. Here's a tough realization for a lot of us. Nation building does not work. You are not going to turn Afghanistan into Alabama. You're not going to turn Afghanistan into Arkansas. This is the lie of the neoconservative project. Now, a lot of the neoconservative writers and kind of jerks on Twitter are saying, oh, see, Afghanistan has fallen. This is why we needed to occupy it for another 100 years. That's a ridiculous thing to say. I think you can have a very nuanced, moderate, and common sense, and dare I say prudent, approach to this. That you wanted to see the war in Afghanistan be scaled down eventually, correctly, while honoring our promises to the Afghan government and to the people there, while also understanding that we are not going to have Afghanistan as the 51st state of our nation, that we do have a moral obligation to look after our citizens and our nation. It takes generations to modernize society. You just can't purchase it and write a check to accomplish modern society. Western civilization was the work of hundreds of years of thinking, of writing, of dialogue. Yet the pride and the hubris of the neoconservative right and the war hawkish left that they could come into Afghanistan and all of a sudden they're going to turn it into this beautiful pinnacle of Western society. That was foolish from the beginning. So Joe Biden then announces that he is going to withdraw all troops on September 11th, about 3 weeks from now. Now, a very fair question should be, Joe Biden, why that day? That's kind of weird. First of all, you shouldn't broadcast your plans to the enemy. That's the simple piece of feedback that a lot of people give. But what's the wisdom of that day? Is that the best military decision? Are you just going to give the entire country to the Taliban? Is the Taliban then just going to run the country? Now, that was a fair question. And again, I want to just reemphasize this. This is not a war hawk show. This is not a neoconservative show. We believe that American force strategically used against our enemies is proper and can be prudent. Nation building, empire building, and trying to change entire civilizations to fit our own is a fool's errand. I'm not really sure that the people in charge of our military thought all of this out completely. Remember when President Trump withdrew from the Iran deal? They said there would be war with Iran. Well, that wasn't true. The experts were wrong. Remember when President Trump moved the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem? They said there would be war. They were wrong. Remember when they said that when President Trump killed Qassem Soleimani, it wasn't him, but it was a drone strike through the United States military, there would be war, and they were wrong. And the experts the military generals like Mark Milley, who was too busy talking about critical race theory at a congressional hearing while the Taliban was plotting a takeover of Kabul. They said that if Biden withdrew from Afghanistan, the Taliban would not sweep back into power. They were wrong. Has our foreign policy intelligentsia been right about anything in the last 10 years? Have the people that make millions of dollars to write these articles in the New York Times, that have these think tanks that are well-funded by Raytheon and Northrop Grumman and Lockheed Martin, have they predicted anything correctly? The foreign policy expert said, well, you know, Biden withdrawal, that's going to be perfectly fine. The way he's doing it is great. Now, President Trump had negotiated and put forward a withdrawal plan that had the Taliban afraid that if they would have crossed a certain line, there'd be disproportionate force used against them. And instead, Joe Biden says, we're getting out. And not only did the Taliban take back the country, they took it back so quickly and overwhelmed the 300,000 Afghan soldiers that we were not even able to load up our planes in time by the time the Taliban had retaken the government. 75,000 Taliban fighters, 300,000 Afghan government fighters. They barely even fought. I don't even know if there was a shot fired. And what does the president of Afghanistan do? He flees the country. Who's in charge here? The United States military is the most well-funded enterprise in the history of organization. We spend $1 trillion in Afghanistan. We leave our weapons behind for the Taliban to take up and use against the Afghan soldiers. Just leave them behind. Don't even destroy the weapons. The president we put in place flees the country. And there wasn't even a shot fired by the Taliban before they took Kabul. I was just in Oklahoma this last weekend at Enid, Oklahoma. It's a great church, Emmanuel Enid. I'll tell you, those folks love America, wouldn't you say, Jake? They love America still. It's a great place. Not too far from Oklahoma City. It actually gave me hope. A lot of military people there, and they were really upset. In fact, some military Air Force people came up to me and said, Charlie, what did I just do the last decade? My whole life was about serving in Afghanistan, persuading the people in Afghanistan to fight with us. We told them we would never betray them. We told them that if they fought alongside of us, we'll hold the Taliban at bay. So I think this actually warrants a little bit of an explanation, which is, who are the Taliban? Well, the Taliban, they were removed from power in Afghanistan by us in 2001. And they have been displaced from power over the last 20 years. And obviously, they have seized power again. Taliban, or otherwise known as students in the Pashto language, emerged in the early 1990s in northern Pakistan following the withdrawal of Soviet troops from Afghanistan. It is believed that the predominantly Pashtun movement first appeared in religious seminaries. I'm reading from BBC.com mainly. Mostly paid for by money by Saudi Arabia, which preached a hardline form of Sunni Islam. The promise made by the Taliban in Pashtun areas straddling Pakistan and Afghanistan was to restore peace and security and enforce their own very austere version of Sharia or Islamic law. Their political office is in Doha right now, and they will return back to Afghanistan very soon. The head of the Taliban is this guy, holy moly, good luck pronouncing this, Malwali Hibatullah Agasagadzada. He's the former Taliban chief justice leader since 2016. There's a senior judge, political deputy, deputy, and deputy. And they're from southwestern Afghanistan. The Taliban began quickly extending their influence in September of 95 and captured the province of Herat, bordering Iran. Now, the Taliban, the actual Pashtun people, they have a history going back hundreds of years, well over 1,000 years, They own those hills. The Taliban, they have banned music, television, cinema that disapproved of girls over 10 going to school. They have been accused of various human rights and cultural abuses. And in fact, the Taliban destroyed the famous Bayman Buddha statues in central Afghanistan. Pakistan has repeatedly denied that it was the architect of the Taliban enterprise. You cannot trust Pakistan, by the way. That's a great lesson for life. The Pakistani government cannot be trusted. They have the ISI. Watch out for those people. And so the reason why the neoconservatives wanted to invade Afghanistan was they said that it was a sanctuary for Al-Qaeda. Now, this argument never made a lot of sense to me because it ended up being Pakistan that was the sanctuary for Osama bin Laden. That's not a good reason for a long protracted ground invasion in a project in colonialism and imperialism. I think special forces and airstrikes would have been sufficient to be able to find the exact targets in the hills of Afghanistan. Not hundreds of thousands of ground troops and $1 trillion spent. And I'm going to ask this question, and we're going to keep on diving into this. What did we get for $1 trillion spent and thousands of lives lost and tens of thousands of soldiers with PTSD and tens of thousands of soldiers with injuries? What do we have to show for it? A Taliban that is stronger than when we first came. Our generals, like Lloyd Austin and Mark Milley, who are in charge of the Department of Defense, instead of wondering about what is the prudent and wise way to withdraw from Afghanistan and make sure we're good on our promise to the people of Afghanistan, they were too busy talking about critical race theory and anti-American philosophy. They're too busy mandating how to be an anti-racist to our generals. Remember this narrative we've talked about here in our program and our podcast about how the military has gone woke? Well, as the military goes woke, the Taliban takes over. Big tech platforms would not be what they are today, would it not be for content creators. Even though these platforms would be empty without great content, they have ultimate control over the newsfeed and what members see and do not see. Locals.com thinks this is, well, nuts. So they set out to build the first social media platform that champions the true heroes of the social media world, the creators, where creators have total ownership and control over their content. A platform doesn't subject everyone to BS algorithms that prioritize the platform's need and politics over speech. The phrase isn't power to the platforms, it's power to the people. We like Locals a lot, and I want you to check out our Locals feed at charliekirk.locals.com. That's charliekirk.locals.com. You could check it out. This is a way to be able to see our uncensored content, and supporters can post it too. It's a direct line to us. So check it out right now. I'm excited to see you at charliekirk.locals.com, charliekirk.locals.com. Where is Joe Biden? Joe Biden is vacationing, eating ice cream at Camp David, silent as the 20-year war turns into a total public spectacle of humiliation. This is humiliating, everybody. It's humiliating to see overweight, goat-herding perverts storm the capital of Afghanistan that was funded by our own dollars and our blood over the last 20 years. It's humiliating. People are saying we lost the war. Hard to disagree with that. Ending the war the way President Trump wanted to was the right call. With force as a threat, with negotiation bilaterally. And now we're seeing the consequences of that. China is partnering with the Taliban. Dr. Keith Rose, a friend of mine, we're going to be doing an event with him this weekend, actually, at Calvary Chapel, Godspeak, my pastor's church, Rob McCoy. He said, when we came to Afghanistan, I remember reading that Afghanistan was finally liberated from a regime that imposed mandatory face coverings, destroyed statues, and promoted the genital mutilation of children. Sadly, that could also be said as we leave. So we used to attack the Taliban for mandatory face coverings, destroying statues, and promoting the genital mutilation of children. We now do all three of those things in the United States of America. You have chemical castration in states across the country and Republican governors like Asa Hutchinson who support it. We are taking down statues all across the country, and you can't walk into a restaurant in LA, Vegas, New York without a face covering. It seems that we took the Taliban values here and allowed the Taliban to take over Afghanistan. Joe Biden promised us this would never happen. Joe Biden said there would be no circumstance where you see people being lifted off the roof of the embassy of the United States from Afghanistan. Play cut three.
There's going to be no circumstance where you see people being lifted off the roof of a embassy in the, of the United States from Afghanistan. It is not at all comfortable.
Now, that was back in July. Why did he get so specific? He knew Afghanistan was going to fall. He didn't care. And I have a theory as to why, and we're going to dive into why I believe Joe Biden did this the way he did. And it is so sinister. It's so Machiavellian. So Mika Brzezinski says that this was Trump's dealings with the Taliban that was treasonous. She still blames Joe Biden a little bit. This is going to be the new narrative, by the way. The narrative that they are going to be pushing is that it was Trump that messed up Afghanistan. You know that we did not lose a single service member the last 11 months in the Afghan theater under President Trump? The Taliban feared us, and a withdrawal was only possible under those terms. Play cut two.
I don't disagree with Adrian about Trump's involvement with this and that his dealings with the Taliban being downright disgusting and treasonous or whatever else word you want to use, anti-democratic, not conducive to a good outcome, however you want to describe it. But this is Joe Biden's. He made this decision. And I just worry a little bit about the, you know, whataboutism or putting it back on Trump. You can do it. He owns a lot of it. But Joe Biden made this decision.
Yeah, you could do the whataboutism thing. We do that every day here on Morning Joe. We're really good at not covering the news and blaming things on Trump. But he did actually end up saying that we should remove the troops. If you look at the videos of what is happening in Afghanistan, it'll take your breath away. People are falling out of planes trying to get out of the country to their death. People are running to the airport in massive numbers. And here, I want to reemphasize this point. Who is in charge of our military? How do you have 300,000 Afghan soldiers and none of them even fight? We spend $1 trillion. Where did all that money go? So I'm going to turn this on the neoconservative crowd. I'm going to flip it upside down. Because the neoconservative crowd, the warmongers, the Liz Cheney types, they say, see, this is why we have to be here till 2240. Our withdrawal date can be 200 years from now. On the 400th anniversary of America, then we can get out of Afghanistan. I asked the question, hold on a second. We spent $1 trillion in 20 years. Where did all that money go? Yeah, I know all your defense contractor crony donors made a bunch of money, like Raytheon and Northrop Grumman and Lockheed Martin and Boeing. You're trying to tell me they couldn't even hold the city of Kabul for an afternoon? There were no shots fired. The Taliban just had a highway straight to the capital. No willingness to fight, no training. Where's the weaponry? Joe Biden was saying, well, they have an Air Force. So they'll be able to hold the line. Anthony Blinken said, well, we set out what we wanted to do. These people are so dishonest. And this is why I get so frustrated when I hear Republicans are negotiating infrastructure deals. These are not people in good faith. They're not. They want chaos. They want discord. They want destruction. I want you to listen to this. Anthony Blinken says the important and the private part out loud. Play cut one.
Let's take a step back. This is manifestly not Saigon. The fact of the matter is this. We went to Afghanistan 20 years ago with one mission in mind, and that was to deal with the people who attacked us on 9/11. And that mission has been successful.
Yeah, it's not Saigon. It's worse. I want to submit to you, this is not incompetence. You are going to hear a lot of conservative pundits and neoconservatives and warmongers, and even the New York Times is being tough on Biden, because there is no defending this. they're going to say, oh, this was incompetent. This was an error. Wrong. This was intentional. They knew this was going to happen. Why would Biden say that there wouldn't be people lifted off the roof of the embassy? That's a weird thing to say. Did he already war game that out as something that might happen? He knew what the Taliban was going to do, and he wanted to do it anyway. Why? What would the Biden administration possibly gain from the visual humiliation, from the goat-herding perverts taking over the Hill, taking over the Capitol, of the proxy government that we put in place, literally just fleeing the country? Just, I'm done. Thanks for playing. This Afghan president will find his name. He just left the country. He did a press release saying, I'm done. And he just left. I don't know where he is. He's probably in some sort of, he's in the Maldives or something, vacationing. Abandoned his fellow countrymen. Tony Blinken said on Cut 10 on July 7th, saying, we are not withdrawing. We are staying. The embassy is staying. Our programs are staying. If there is a significant deterioration in security, I don't think something that's going to happen from a Friday to a Monday. The Taliban took over the country in 3 days. 3 days. After $1 trillion that we spent and 300,000 Afghan forces. Where did all that money go? Why did we go build their schools and we have our own citizens that can't read? Play Cut 10.
I don't think that the fact that our forces are withdrawing, one, we're not withdrawing, we're staying. The embassy is staying. Our programs are staying. We're working to make sure that other partners stay. We're building all of that up. And whatever happens in Afghanistan, if there is a significant deterioration in security, that could well happen. We've discussed this before. I don't think it's going to be something that happens from a Friday to a Monday.
So what would the motive be here? I do not want to hear from conservative pundits that this was incompetence. This was weakness. It's much more sinister than that. All roads lead to political transformation. Remember this. The most important thing for the Democrats is having permanent political control. Now, you might be saying, all right, Charlie, what does the fall of Kabul have to do with Democrats taking over political control? I was watching CNN last night. They actually had pretty good 24-hour coverage, I have to say. CNN did okay. They were hitting Biden pretty hard. It was their international desk. Biden is going to be pressured to make good on this. Colin Powell was quoted in the Washington Post. He said he never said this, but he did. The old Pottery Barn statement, where Colin Powell said, well, you know, at Pottery Barn, if you go in there, you break it, you buy it. He said that's what American foreign policy has to be. And the funniest part of the whole story is that Pottery Barn came back. They said, that's not our policy. It's like, that's not the point. The point is that he thought that policy, you break it, you buy it. You break Afghanistan, you buy it. What is the motive then? I saw it this morning, and our prediction came true. President Joe Biden's Department of Defense will accept 30,000 Afghan refugees into military installations following the collapse of Kabul. Boom. Political transformation. Let the country crumble. Do you know there's 5 million displaced people in Afghanistan now? This was all intentional. Joe Biden let it fall apart to now say, oh, I'm so sorry. I guarantee you Joe Biden's speech this afternoon will talk about refugee assistance and relocation support. Now, Joe Biden's going to be scrambling to make good on it, and the liberal media will love it. They'll say, oh, yes, okay, now I get it. Joe Biden is now fixing his own problem. Joe Biden is stepping up, and he's allowing a flow of people from the Middle East into America. Thank you, Joe Biden. You're such a hero. You're so benevolent. You're so respectful. You're so compassionate. Do you see what's going on here? What's going on here is Joe Biden wants a couple hundred thousand more Ilhan Omars to come into America to change the body politic permanently. We're playing checkers and they're playing chess. The reason why Joe Biden and the Department of Defense handled Afghanistan the way they did was not because of incompetence and not because of weakness. They did this to try to create another refugee crisis because the one prior changed Europe forever. You might remember the refugee crisis that was caused by ISIS is one of the main reasons why Angela Merkel and many other European nations had to accept millions of people from the Middle East into the European countries. That changed the matter, because you have a matter and a form of government, permanently. That changed the cultural landscape of it. And that's exactly what Joe Biden and the people in charge of our government were thinking when they did this. There is no rational or reasonable explanation for this. Let me prove this to you. First of all, the Afghan government was probably paid off by the Taliban with Chinese money. There is really no other explanation there. Why would we leave weapons behind? Who could explain that? Why would Joe Biden already be talking about as if the Taliban is going to take over the entire country? Who can explain that? I refuse to blame this entire thing on incompetence and weakness. That is the easy way. Instead, I think we need to look a level deeper. When has the Biden administration not tried to implement a policy that actually benefits their political objectives? The southern border wide open is a great example. And they've been pushing for refugees for quite some time. Imagine if I told you that you could bring in another 300,000 people from Somalia. Now, why did we bring in so many people from Somalia? It's the Pottery Barn principle. You break Mogadishu, you buy it. Make no mistake, this is going to create one of the largest refugee crises in the modern era, and definitely the largest since the ISIS refugee crisis. They might say, Charlie, I don't care about refugees. I don't understand how they all connect. Refugees are displaced people that then give an argument, a moral high ground argument, to people from like the Open Society Foundation to allow third world voters into Western nations that then tend to vote Democrat on an almost 80 to 20% clip. That's how they process data. That's how they view decisions. How long are we going to be in power? That's why they refuse to police the southern border, where we are on pace to have 2 million illegal border crossings into the country. The refugee pool will be expanded as more refugees, refugee pool of immigration to America will be expanded as there are more refugees. This point will be lost on many Republicans. They're going to go on television and say, this is a very weak move by Biden. Yeah, it was probably weak. But they knew what they were getting from this. They know long term they are actually going to politically benefit from the fall of Afghanistan. They know that right now. I'll read from the Breitbart article. Department of State and Department of Defense, the situation in Afghanistan may lead to allowing Afghan SIV applicants to be moved to temporary housing locations while still being vetted for parolee status. Pentagon spokesman John Kirby told Fox News, quote, we have to have the capacity to get up to several thousand immediately and want to be prepared for refugees of tens of thousands coming to America. The State Department website defines SIV as, quote, available to persons who worked with the U.S. Armed Forces or under the Chief of Mission Authority or translator or interpreter or Iraq of Afghanistan. This program offers visas for up to 50 persons a year remains active. And right now there are 30,000 of such that are coming to America. Never let a crisis go to waste. So Biden had to weigh it. He said, I want to end the war in Afghanistan. Now, if I do this correctly, it won't create that much of a crisis. You do realize that the socialists and the collectivists benefited tremendously from the ISIS refugee crisis that was caused by the fracturing of Syria, especially in the Syrian civil war with Bashar al-Assad. Why would they miss another opportunity to bring in millions of new voters that are more loyal to their agenda and their vision? A stable Afghanistan would not allow them that opportunity. So when's the last time you think you had American meat? Well, I could tell you last time I had American meat. You see, Good Ranchers, they send you this box. It's a big box. And every time it arrives to the office, it's almost a ceremony of eager expectation. You see many people that work on the Charlie Kirk Show. They're wondering, maybe will they get a T-bone filet stripper gourmet burger as a reward for their good work? And the answer is usually no. Not because they don't do great work, but because I want all that meat for myself because it's so good. Big box of meat arriving to your home sounds good, too good to be true. Well, it's all American made meat. And did you know that over 80% of the grass-fed beef sold in America is imported from overseas like China? You don't want Chinese meat. Well, look. GoodRanchers.com delivers American craft beef and better than organic chicken. I can tell you, it's summertime, so you guys want to be grilling and cooking and having real meat. Look, I'm a big believer in getting meat back in the diet of young people. Too much of this fake stuff. You need real meat so young people can build muscle mass. It worked for our ancestors. It can work for you. So just go to GoodRanchers.com to buy now or subscribe today to save 20% off each box of mouth-watering meats. Again, it's super simple. You order this box, it comes to you, and it's a very exciting experience. GoodRanchers.com/Charlie or use the code Charlie at checkout. You get all this meat, and quite honestly, all of your grocery store shopping is done. The cuts they have that you've been craving, T-bone strips, fillets, gourmet burgers, boom, it's all right there, and you know you support. Here's three things that gets done when you go to GoodRanchers.com/Charlie. Three things. Number one, you get food. Everyone listening to this needs food, okay? Unless you're in a fasting cycle, eventually you're going to need food. Number two, you get American food and good food. Number three, you support this show. How cool is that? So if every person listening to this says, hey, I want to eat, well, I hope you want to eat. I want to eat good food, obviously, and I want to support this show. Trifecta. Eat food, good food, support the show. Pretty simple. It's good meat. GoodRanchers.com/Charlie and save $20 off, or better yet, subscribe and save each box of mouth-watering American meats. We get it. My wife and I, we get the boxes. It's a whole ceremony. We text our friends. Mikey knows about it. Jake knows about it. It's meat day when Good Ranchers arrives. So get involved. Support the show. Support American meat. GoodRanchers.com/Charlie right now. What was our military doing while the Taliban was plotting a takeover of Afghanistan? Oh, they were too busy lecturing us on white rage. Remember the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Milley, in front of a Senate committee saying, well, the biggest threat to America is white rage, and I really want to figure out what is behind white rage. Our own government is declaring war on its citizens, and I'll prove it to you through a Department of Homeland Security bulletin that was issued last week. While the Taliban takes over the entire country of Afghanistan, they have right here, CNN keeps on having these generals on television. This guy, General Wesley Clark. I don't know if he's a good guy or bad guy. He's on CNN, so he's questionable. But every one of these generals has screwed up professionally for the last 40 years. What have they ever done that has accomplished victory? You fail upwards in Washington, D.C. Prime example number one, General Milley. Do we have the will to even fight anymore? Cut 18.
On the issue of critical race theory, et cetera, I'll obviously have to get much smarter on whatever the theory is. But I do think it's important, actually, for those of us in uniform to be open-minded and be widely read. And the United States Military Academy is a university. And it is important that we train and we understand. And I want to understand white rage, and I'm white. And I want to understand it. So what is it that caused thousands of people to assault this building and try to overturn the Constitution of the United States of America? What caused that?
That's what he's worried about. He's worried about white rage and what caused that, while the Taliban begins their offensive in Afghanistan. That's who's running your military right now. Former CIA boss John Brennan goes on MSNBC. What does he say? He says, I'm increasingly embarrassed to be a white man. Make no mistake, everybody. Before I play this tape, cut 20. Get it ready, please. When we talk about here on this program the threat of critical race theory, how it's an existential issue to the American way of life, on this show, we are going to make the argument that as critical race theory has climbed the ranks of influence and power, the humiliation you're seeing right now in Kabul is directly related with the implementation of critical race theory in our schools and in our colleges. It's a doctrine of weakness, a doctrine of deconstruction. Can you run a military like a Socratic seminar? Well, John Brennan says that he's increasingly embarrassed to be a white man. People like this are running your military. That's why you watch right now on the main feeds, Afghanistan is gone. Play cut 20.
Well, I must say, to Claire's point, I'm increasingly embarrassed to be a white male these days. And what a, light of what I see of my other white males saying.
And then how, remember the CIA recruitment video, the Central Intelligence Agency, cut 19, our own spy agency, which used to be OSS and then changed into CIA, instead of worrying about monitoring our enemies or maybe keeping an eye on what the Taliban is thinking or doing, or maybe, you know, what the CIA should be doing instead, our intelligence apparatus, instead of spying on Tucker Carlson, which is what they did, they probably should have been thinking, hey, is the Afghan government doing a deal with the Taliban behind our back? That's somewhat important. Cut 19, this is the CIA's marketing arm with something that very well could have been an advertisement for Wellesley College. Play cut 19.
I'm a woman of color. I am a mom. I am a cisgender millennial who's been diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder. I am intersectional, but my existence is not a box-checking exercise. I am a walking declaration. I am unapologetically me. I want you to be unapologetically you, whoever you are. Know your worth. Command your space. Mija, you're worth it.
Know your worth. Command your space. That's a CIA recruitment video. Generalized anxiety disorder. I hope she finds treatment. Our enemies look at that and they say, really? You're going to be doing advertisements about all your weaknesses? We'll go take Kabul. Now, the left-wing media is turning on Biden in a way, but they're doing this intentionally. I want to just reemphasize this point I made earlier. The European refugee crisis changed the body politic of Europe forever. The international globalists would love nothing more to be able to create another refugee crisis, which is what you're about to see happen in Afghanistan. Rough estimates show that there are 5 million refugees in Afghanistan right now. 5 million displaced people. Where are they all going to go? Late last night, I keep on going back to this. If we can find this tape, when I was watching CNN last night at like midnight, I couldn't sleep. I actually couldn't sleep because of how humiliating this entire thing was. And it hit me. The whole kind of thing came together. I said, of course, this is what they're trying to do, obviously. Is they had this whole report from Islamabad, and this woman that was being interviewed, she said, well, look, Pakistan has a wall and a fence, and they don't allow refugees in their country. Like, oh, okay, so they're not going to Pakistan. No. They're going to go to Berlin. They're going to go to Stockholm. They're going to go to London. They're going to go to Milwaukee. They're going to go to Atlanta. That's what they're already doing. The left-wing media is asking, how did they get this so wrong? Well, they didn't get it wrong. This was their intended outcome. And the way that they are going to make good on this and to compensate for it is by the largest relocation of people that we have seen since the European refugee crisis. Play cut 14.
Secretary Blinken, as you know, the Taliban has closed in on Kabul. We're evacuating the embassy, burning documents. Biden increased troops, deploying to the country twice in 3 days just to rescue those there. This is not just about the overall idea of leaving Afghanistan. This is about leaving hastily and ineptly. Secretary Blinken, how did President Biden get this so wrong?
And then the answer was a joke, quite honestly. Cut 16, left-wing media turns on Biden, calls the withdrawal a fiasco and a debacle. Play cut 16.
Mr. Sullivan, friends and foes alike are calling this withdrawal a fiasco, a debacle, and it is one that apparently the administration did not fully appreciate or see coming. And yet that is precisely what we have seen over these last few days. How do you explain getting this so wrong?
From someone on the front ground, on the front line, said, for months leading up to this, ANA and ANDSF were surrendering little hundreds, literally hundreds, sometimes thousands at a time to the Taliban all over the country. Biden was talking out of his, you know what, because he said completely contradicted what was coming out of the military intelligence reports. He was just lying. Lying to the people and lying publicly. Lied about the intelligence. In a organized country, we would be having generals resigning en masse right now. But honor and duty are no longer a central principle, unfortunately, in our country. Where are the resignations? Could you imagine if Trump oversaw this? how the media would be reacting to this, how the Democrats would be reacting to this. Afghanistan footage, young children literally falling out of a USAF C-17 from the plane. Cut six. And I'll narrate it as we see it right up there. So here you have a plane that's taking off and people dropping off the wings as they were trying their best to get on the plane. It's on you, Joe Biden. He was silent all weekend. Congressman Ron Paul, don't agree with him on everything, but he warned in his final speech on the House floor before leaving Congress that there is a bipartisan agreement that keeps the spending going between progressives and the defense spending. And I want to reemphasize this point that you're not going to hear from a lot of people on television, which is, where did all this money go? You're trying to tell me that the Taliban took over a country in 3 days after we spent 20 years there? What were we doing there? Play cut four.
A grand but never mentioned bipartisan agreement allows for the well-kept secret that keeps the spending going. One side doesn't give up one penny on military spending. The other side doesn't give up one penny on welfare spending. While both sides support the bailouts and the subsidies for the banking and the corporate elite. And the spending continues as the economy weakens and the downward spiral continues.
The spending continues as the downward spiral goes. Cut five, Congressman Ron Paul, final speech on the House floor before leaving Congress. But here's the major stumbling block. Why is it that we can't ever successfully disengage from these theaters of combat? Play cut five.
The major stumbling block to real change in Washington is the total resistance to admitting that the country is broke. This has made compromising just to agree to increase spending inevitable, since neither side has any intention on cutting spending. The country and the Congress will remain divisive since there is no loot left to divvy up.
And then finally, cut seven, 1 decade ago, he was asked, should we leave Afghanistan? I think the answer is very clear, and it is not complicated. I think we should as soon as we can. This suggests that we can leave by the end of the year. If we don't, we'll be there for another decade, would be my prediction. And we were, and it only got worse. The more we were there, the more resolve the Taliban had, the more they were able to recruit, the more they were able to build the infrastructure and wait this thing out. What if I told you that our permanent occupation actually made the Taliban stronger? Had the opposite effect. Play cut seven.
The question we're facing today is, should we leave Afghanistan? I think the answer is very clear and it's not complicated. And of course, we should, as soon as we can. This suggests that we can leave by the end of the year. If we don't, we'll be there for another decade, would be my prediction.
Another decade. While we have so many structural problems here in our country, we built schools, electric vehicle charging stations. We built massive infrastructure in Afghanistan. And what do we have to show for it? The taking of Kabul almost overnight. We're getting a lot of questions at freedom@charliekirk.com, and people agree with our assessment that this is humiliating, that this is an event that will go down in history, and the way Joe Biden is going to try to make up for it is going to be by accepting massive swaths of refugees in return. How to mess up a country in less than 8 months. This is not the only crisis that's happening. We're going to get into some other stuff as well, because there's been a lot of developments around mandatory vaccinations. But I want to go to cut 23. Robert Gates on how Biden has been wrong on every foreign policy decision in the last 40 years. We talked about this. Biden was wrong on Gaddafi. Biden was wrong on Assad. Biden was wrong on Iraq. Biden was wrong in Afghanistan. Biden was wrong with China. Biden was wrong with Ukraine. Biden was wrong with North Korea. Play cut 23.
I was rereading your memoir before we sat down to talk. And you said in your memoir, I think he's been wrong on nearly every major foreign policy and national security issue over the past four decades. Would he be an effective commander in chief?
I don't know. I think I stand by that statement.
wrong about every major foreign policy decision of the last couple decades. Kabul, that's a project of the Biden regime, but it was done intentionally. Look, I choose to protect my online activity by using ExpressVPN. Even if you keep your accounts, you don't have to give big tech websites access to your data. Ever wondered how free-to-access social media companies make all their money? Well, by tracking your searches, video history, and everything you click on, and then selling your valuable data. When you use ExpressVPN, you anonymize much of your online presence by hiding your IP address, and that makes your activity much more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. What's more is ExpressVPN encrypts 100% of your data to protect you from eavesdroppers on your network. And the ExpressVPN app couldn't be easier to use. You just tap one button on your phone or your computer and you're protected. Take back your online privacy with the VPN I trust at expressvpn.com/Charlie. By visiting my link, you'll get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN service for a 1-year package. And that's expressvpn.com/Charlie. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie to use the ExpressVPN that I have on my phone, ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Last week, the left took a bizarre victory lap, saying that the 2020 U.S. population census shows that the U.S. population is more racially and ethnically diverse than measured in 2010. This was widely heralded by the New York Times and the Washington Post saying, see, we have won. What difference does that make? Why do they care about skin color so much? Why are they emphasizing the way people look? Are they trying to tell us something, that certain skin colors should be given preference over the others? Charles M. Blow wrote a piece for the New York Times saying that the census was a terrifying blow to white nationalists. He's never met a white nationalist in his life. He doesn't know what it is. I don't even know what it is. It's a made-up term. And so the census comes out, and this is census.gov, measuring racial and ethnic diversity. They now have a diversity index and a prevalence ranking and diffusion score. You see, the left believes that if they are able to change the matter of the country culturally, who cares about skin color? Skin color is irrelevant. Then it will change the form of the government. There are two different ways that you look at a nation. You have the raw material and the matter you're dealing with, the language, the history, the culture, and then you have the form, the type of the government you actually want to establish. And they must fit one another. When you change the matter so dramatically, sometimes the form will not fit. A good example of this, as I've mentioned a couple times, is Ilhan Omar. Ilhan Omar is incompatible with a constitutional republic. She distastes, she hates it. Separation of powers, checks and balances, consent to the governed. She wants nothing to do with it. Ilhan Omar has a completely different worldview than the American way of life. So if you bring in hundreds of thousands of people like Ilhan Omar, that changes the matter, and therefore it will change the form. Thomas West, who's a phenomenal historian, was the one to kind of pioneer this way of processing information. And last week, we saw that the census data showed that white people are in demographic decline. And the response from his audience was demented. It was demented. They give a standing ovation that white people are in decline. There is a massive anti-white problem in our country. There's huge institutional anti-white racism. Don't believe me? Listen to this. Cut 24. Jimmy Fallon mentions that the latest official census shows that white people are in demographic decline. Listen to how they respond. Cut 24.
Some more news. The results of the 2020 census just came out, and for the first time in American history, the number of white people went down.
Yes, we hate that skin color. That is now, if you send your child to college, that is what they're taught. Taught to hate people of a certain skin color. The Department of Homeland Security, taxpayer-funded government agency, DHS, just a couple days ago, they issued a new terrorism bulletin. The terrorism bulletin talked about potential terror threats. Here's what they said were the biggest terror threats to the country. This is your government. opposition to COVID measures, claims of election fraud and belief that Trump can be reinstated, and 9/11 anniversary and religious holidays. No mention of Islamic fundamentalism. No mention of BLM Incorporated. No mention of Antifa. Zero. And meanwhile, Homeland Security, the Department of Homeland Security, they are loading up planes with illegals, not being COVID tested, and they are spreading them across the country. You want to talk about a super spreader? We have a taxpayer-funded super spreader of military aircraft that are shipping illegals that come into the country to Omaha, to Reno, to Missoula. That's our government that's doing that. And I asked this question with all sincerity, and then there's this kind of this interesting drama that Cammy doesn't want to take responsibility for the mess that's Kabul. Cammy wants Joe Biden to come back from vacation and to give a speech. I mean this with all sincerity. I want you to think about this. I'd love you to email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Do they actually want to govern this country? They have nothing but contempt for the citizens of America. They seem almost annoyed by the people that they have been tasked to defend and to secure the blessings of liberty for, as it says in the preamble of the Constitution. I want to just also make one other point about the Jimmy Fallon thing. So Jimmy Fallon comes out, celebrates the decline of white people. Could you imagine if the race was different? You see, the civil rights regime that came with the Civil Rights Act in 1964 implemented the entire new framework of what we are dealing with. Christopher Caldwell talks about this perfectly in his book, Age of Entitlement, which if you read his book, a lot of people would say, that's a thought crime. You're not allowed to say that. The argument he makes in his book is that the overly aggressive implementation of the third founding of the United States, the first founding being 1776, second founding right after the American Civil War, the third founding really was the Civil Rights Act, was a complete federal superstructure of hyper-racialization and using government power to go after certain skin colors and people, specifically white people. And now we are seeing that manifested in our customs and in our laws and in our culture. You get standing ovation on NBC News if you say that there are less white people. They applaud that. There's another story I want to get to here, which is kind of an interesting one, which is circulating, and it's starting to get some traction. I got to say, it's a, at first I kind of looked at it, I was like, I don't know about that, but I looked into this. So this is still, the Biden administration's not responding to this. So Joe Biden posted this photo that some intern took at Camp David of him sitting at an empty desk, looking very frail in a polo shirt, staring and contemplating at television screens. I'm reading from Kyle Becker's website, Becker News. And everyone asked the question, where is the president? Where is Joe Biden? Because we knew he was on vacation in some way. Why hasn't he given a comment? And Kabul fell and the presidential palace was overrun. And so he posts this picture. Okay, whatever. And obviously, it would have been nice if he would have cropped out the teleconference screens that labeled CIA and Doha Station, which basically showed the rest of the world where all of our intelligence assets were. Did this on two separate occasions. Almost like he was giving our enemies a heads up of, oh, hey, here's where all of our intelligence assets are. Again, I refuse to believe this is incompetent. I believe this is internal and deliberate sabotage by Joe Biden because he hates his voters. Just hates the citizens. He declared war on us when he gave his inaugural address. He did. He said, this is a domestic war that we are going to win. But then there's this really interesting thing that came out because they have these world clocks on the top of the screens. And the clocks are wrong. And the issue with the clocks are showing London and Moscow are 3 hours apart. But those cities are actually 2 hours apart. So either the photo is wrong or the clocks at Camp David are wrong, which is really scary that our own military can't even get clocks right. It should be noted that while Tehran is shown as a half-hour difference from Moscow, it's actually an hour-and-a-half difference. For whatever reason, that's also wrong. And so some people are saying he's not at Camp David because the whole TV is Photoshopped, and the current time difference is 2 hours, so this picture could not have been taken today. But that doesn't explain anything. I just think the clocks are wrong. Before March, London and Moscow have a 3-hour time difference because of daylight savings. Got it. So they do change. It's like an Arizona thing. So it's not always a constant differential. Got it. Okay. I stand corrected on that. So basically, either this is an old photo or the military doesn't update their clocks, which is also equally stunning and scary because aren't like nuclear codes kind of tied to clockwork, but that's a whole different conversation for a different time. So no one knows what's really going on in Afghanistan, but we know one of two things. Either Joe Biden photoshopped an old photo to show that he was in Camp David and he wasn't, or the military can't even keep precise clocks. I actually think that it's the military that can't keep precise clocks. They're too busy trying to teach white fragility Robin DiAngelo. And, I mean, it's an embarrassment, honestly. It's an embarrassment what just happened in Afghanistan. What does CNN have right now? School official, masked and unmasked students won't mix. That's why we get conquered so quickly, or why Kabul does. So we're going to keep on going through this story. It's very interesting. The Biden administration's ignoring it. I don't know. It's really interesting that if you tell the truth, it's easier to remember. So either the military is totally incompetent with this, or there's something else going on that we don't know about. Maybe Joe will address it during his press conference about how clocks are not on time. Yeah, Joe Biden's doing a conference this afternoon, which does interrupt with his afternoon nap. Remember all the conspiracy theories when Trump had COVID because he posted fake pictures? And the Washington Post and New York Times played into that? If only we had real journalists in this country. And the way they're going to make good for it is the same way that they celebrate the census. Go bring over 500,000 new Ilhan Omars from Afghanistan. That's what they're going to say. A lot of people ask me, Charlie, how do you know so much about American history? The answer is not from school. As many of you know, I did not go to formal college. Actually, I didn't go to college at all. So my education has been a process. I've always been committed to learning and diving deep into ideas. And one source of truth and knowledge has been the greatest partner in that pursuit of learning, and that is Hillsdale College. American history and civics education, they're quite honestly at a turning point. And the Hillsdale 1776 curriculum, they are teaching the truth. And they have downloadable curriculum for you and your children for free at k12.hillsdale.edu. That's k12.hillsdale.edu. And you could take online courses. So every single day, I do my best to try to schedule at least 30 minutes to an hour to take some online courses. So I have my certificate. I have passed the course in Constitution 101, the intro to the Constitution. I'm about to finish the introduction to Western philosophy. I finished the introduction to Aristotle, How to Live a Good Life. And they have a new one called The Great American Story that I'm taking, and it's phenomenal. If you say, Charlie, how do I get my kids to know history? Literally pay them to take these courses. It's that good. The Great American Story, it's charlieforhillsdale.com. That's charlieforhillsdale.com. Maybe you're more of a World War II fan. They have a whole course on that called The Second World Wars. Maybe you're a fan of Shakespeare. They have a course on that, Hamlet and the Tempest. Maybe you're a fan of theology. They have a whole course on Theology 101. How about on the Greek Wars, Athens and Sparta, Winston Churchill and statesmanship? These are free of charge, amazingly rigorous courses that will get you to appreciate the country, what it means to be a human being, where our rights come from at k12.hillsdale.edu. That's k12.hillsdale.edu. Hillsdale, we are so honored to partner with them on the Charlie Kirk Show. Our children deserve to be taught the truth through a sound curriculum created by teachers, not bureaucrats, and uphold the dignity of each individual. So download the 1776 curriculum right now, and you yourself should at least carve out 20 minutes a day to try and learn something new. These courses can be downloaded, they could be podcasts, and there's little tests after them to make sure that you are comprehending what you are learning. And about after 10 courses, you get your certificate. It's one of the coolest feelings in the world. You feel like you are retaining that knowledge and you have a better understanding of what's happening in America. Download Hillsdale 1776 curriculum for free at k12.hillsdale.edu. That's k12.hillsdale.edu. Phenomenal partners. Please check it out right now. Where are we headed with the Chinese coronavirus lockdowns as we continue to watch the fall of Kabul? We're headed in a direction very similar to where Australia already is. I'm reading from NPR. Australian soldiers are joining local police in New South Wales to enforce a coronavirus lockdown. Starting Monday, some 300 unarmed soldiers will begin patrols in Sydney, a city of 6 million people. On Wednesday, Sydney extended a lockdown by a month up until August 28th. There's 170 cases. That's right. They mobilized the military for 170 cases. Listen to this tape right here as we see Australia go full Orwellian, police in the streets, martial law, play tape.
There will be no removal of masks to consume alcohol outdoors. So you will no longer be able to remove your mask to drink a cocktail at a pop-up beer garden on a footpath as part of a pub crawl.
0.04% death rate, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. What about people that have already had it? Australia doesn't care. Nor does New York City. Bill de Blasio announces that if you do not have the vaccine passport, you cannot go to movie theaters, live music, concert venues, museums and galleries, aquariums and zoos, professional sports arenas, stadiums, convention centers, exhibition halls, performing art theaters, bowling alleys, arcades, pool and billiard halls, recreational game centers, casinos, or adult entertainment. Yeah, right. You can't go to restaurants, catering halls, event spaces, hotel banquet rooms, bars, cabarets, nightclubs, cafeterias, grocery stores with indoor dining, bakeries, coffee shops, fast food or quick service with indoor dining. You can't go to gyms, fitness centers, fitness classes, pools, indoor studios, dance studios, or sport classes. That's New York City with Bill de Blasio. And you know that 27%, only 27% of blacks in New York City are vaccinated? That is Jim Crow 2.0. That is institutional systemic racism on behalf of the Democrat Party. Now, if Republicans were smart, which they aren't, they're too busy celebrating an infrastructure package with Joe Biden. And that's what's happened with your elected officials. And you all know that. You have Republicans. While Afghanistan falls, we're humiliated on the world stage. Our border is wide open. We have lockdowns as far as the eye can see. They try to negotiate in good faith with Pete Buttigieg and Joe Biden. If Republicans were smart, obviously they wouldn't be doing that, and they would actually respect their voters. Instead, they would say, you know what? What a great opportunity to go win over the black population in this country. Now, people ask me all the time, Charlie, how do we win over black voters? How about you defend them from the overreach of mandatory vaccines? If the Republican Party was smart, they could win over 73% of black voters. You know, 73% of all blacks across the country have refused the vaccine. They're skeptical of it. Wouldn't that be a smart decision for Republicans to say, you know what, we are going to stand up for medical freedom and autonomy. Your body, your choice. Welcome to the Republican Party. Instead, you have Lindsey Graham giving a speech. I mean, Lindsey Graham is going to be all over television the next couple of days. I told you that we should have been occupying Afghanistan till 2530. Because I just love all those big missiles being dropped on all of them. There's never been a war I don't like. We should go invade Venezuela as a response. Okay, Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham going out saying that everyone needs to go get vaccinated. Republicans had this beautiful opportunity. You can go win over Hispanic and black voters about the overreach of government and corporate oligarchy. You have a white mayor in New York City saying to black New Yorkers, you're not allowed to go to restaurants, gyms, and fitness centers, that 73% of blacks are not welcome. And Republicans missed one of the greatest political openings we've ever seen. Republicans have always said, how do we win over black voters? Well, this one's not hard. Defend them. By the way, they are right, blacks are, to distrust the government about public health. In fact, what's amazing is that Democrats say, we need to listen to black voices. We need to listen to black voices. We need to have more black voices represented. They never want that. They want black voices as proxies for a white liberal agenda. If they actually wanted to listen to black voices, they would stop the mandatory vaccine push. Shouldn't we listen to black voices and the wisdom that they have towards forcing people to get a vaccine against their will? Instead, they don't care about them in this issue. It's really a shame. What a great opportunity that could have been if the Republican Party decided to stand for medical freedom and not for authoritarianism. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you'd like to support us, you could do that at charliekirk.com/support. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. God bless you. Speak to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.